Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Caleb Meath, one of the policy officers at the Council of Deans of Health, and I'm joined today by Rachel Rowlands, a lecturer in occupational therapy at Cardiff University, and Maria Clark, who is also a lecturer in occupational therapy at Cardiff University and program manager for the Bachelor of Science in Occupational Therapy. We are here today for a special podcast as part of the Council's Innovation and Pedagogy Policy Priority Area. And today, we'll be talking about Rachel and Maria's Get There Together project, a virtual occupational therapy placement, which was developed during the pandemic. Without further ado, I'll hand it over to Rachel and Maria, and I'll ask our first question of the day, which was, what was your innovation and what were the challenges that it addressed?
Okay, perhaps I'll start. So good afternoon, everybody, or hello. My name is Maria Clark, just so that you can put a, you know, when it's me talking. So this came around when we had to think about finding placements for our final level six students, and the pandemic, as I'm sure everybody appreciated, threw up all sorts of challenges in terms of us being able to access more traditional placements in health and social care. So at the time of this placement, I was part of the practice education team, and I was in close liaison with a colleague in Anaire & Bevan University Health Board, who actually came up with the idea. So Sarah Moorcroft, who's a senior occupational therapist in Anaire & Bevan, approached me with this amazing idea that she'd come up with through her participation in the, it's a group that promotes really creative ways of working, and they wanted to develop resources for people living with dementia to enable them to access the community and their usual activities. But because of the COVID restrictions, there were obviously challenges that they might encounter facing that, because of the, you know, people wearing masks and one-way systems in supermarkets and all of those things that we all take for granted. So she and I chatted about this amazing idea, and we immediately thought that it would fit perfectly with the learning outcomes for our level six occupational therapy students. And between us, we were able to explore how that might look. So what Sarah Moorcroft did is that she met with some of the occupational therapy team within Anaire & Bevan and identified 10 occupational therapists across the Anaire & Bevan Health Board who would act as practice OTs for our students. And then we allocated two students in each area. So two students who were able to work collaboratively to share the learning and, yeah, just develop their skills in what is a very innovative and creative way of learning. I don't know if, Rachel, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I think it's just important to note that the level six students, they were going out on their final placement, which is critical evaluation, and the expectations of that placement is, you know, a step at business, a step just before they're qualified, and is really where they start to explore the occupational therapy role, and they start to work in a more self-directed way as well. We're obviously hoping that by the end of that placement, they're going to be working with minimal supervision. And that was the expectation that we had of the students, and something that we wanted to really build up to. So the 10 students that were chosen were carefully considered and allocated due to their previous placement experiences. And what we wanted to do was provide a structured way in which they would be able to develop as occupational therapists, but also develop resources for the purpose of this project. And so a supervision structure was carefully set up in order to allow them and enable them to do that. And I think the other thing that's quite important to note is that there was a big expectation for these students who had previously not had opportunity to do so, but to actually work remotely. So a lot of this placement was actually done from their living rooms or from community settings where they were filming things. And that was a big change for them. And we had to be really innovative in ensuring that they felt supported in order to participate fully in that placement experience.
Perfect. Thanks. It sounds like an incredibly innovative project. Some of the sort of themes and reasons for why it came about may be similar with other institutions, but the actual way that you guys created the project seems incredibly innovative and addressed the sort of direct needs of both the OT students as well as the sort of patients as well in a very unique way. So it sounds like an amazing project. Just to sort of probe a little bit further, and you guys mentioned some of the difficulties, of course, related to the pandemic. So I'll just ask our next question, which is, what effect did the pandemic have on the implementation of your innovation?
Something that we had to be really mindful of is that, you know, as level six students, those students did need to be able to demonstrate learning against the essential learning outcomes for this placement. So we met as a team to try and map the learning opportunities from a more traditional placement into this creative placement. And the Get There Together project wanted to develop resources that could be accessible throughout Wales, so not just accessible to people within the Eneira and Bevan Local Health Board, but could be accessible throughout the whole of Wales. So something that the 10 students did to start with is that they were provided with bespoke training from Digital Communities Wales. So they were taught how to use the software to help them think about how they could develop these stories. And they were also provided with additional training opportunities. So they did some Dementia Friends training, and they were also able to access more online training, the Positive Approaches to Care, which is a package that's been developed by Tipa Snow. So all of the students had those opportunities at the start of the placement. And then we met weekly on a Wednesday afternoon for group supervision. So Rachel and I were part of that group supervision, and it was also joined by two of the occupational therapists from Eneira and Bevan, who were almost like project leads within the local health board. And every week we met and we explored how students were progressing and the types of challenges they might have faced and how they overcame those. So there was that opportunity for peer learning as well as, you know, the more traditional. So the placement was split. They did have some time of the week they were in the traditional practice settings with the one of the 10 occupational therapists that I mentioned earlier. And then the rest of the week they were working collaboratively in pairs to develop the resources. So they had to learn how to negotiate with each other, to plan, to consider how they would support each other in developing the resources and also targeting some of the service users that they may have met when they were in their clinical part of the placement. Have you got anything to add, Rachel?
Yeah, I think in terms of the pandemic, obviously you've asked what the challenges were, but when we're thinking about the challenges that COVID-19 have given us, it's hard to have pictured this placement happening without the pandemic. And actually the pandemic, we had a lot of withdrawn placements that caused a lot of difficulties. But actually what this did was allowed us and Sarah Moorcroft in Eneira and Bevan to think creatively of how to overcome it and how to look at the pandemic as an opportunity. So this was an opportunity to not only help people with dementia or their carers on a one-to-one basis, but actually looking at a whole population level. So looking at, you know, a larger community of people with dementia who would be able to access these resources. And I do think that only came out because of the restrictions that the pandemic brought us. And I would also say that the project is just it has given our students so many wonderful opportunities, and opportunities in order to learn from each other, to support one another, but also to share the wonderful things that they did on the placement. So, you know, as Maria said, clinical time was about 1.5 days of the week. 3.5 days of the week was working on this project together. And actually, as part of that supervision structure, we asked students to start leading that. So although Maria and I and Sarah Moorcroft and Matt, another OT from an Iron Bevan, were there, we actually started to give the students roles so that they would start to lead that supervision and evaluate their own progress, and then use the occupational therapy problem solving process to overcome those obstacles and to keep the project rolling along. And I suppose what I would like to say is that the finished project, the finished bits at the end, the things that the students created were absolutely amazing. And we couldn't have been prouder, could we, of Maria? Yeah. I mean, they just worked so brilliantly, and they have really advocated that role of occupational therapy, shouting it from the rooftops. So, yes, there were challenges due to COVID, but it did also throw up unique opportunities for us as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rachel. It sounds to me, or two of the main takeaways I'm getting from what you guys have been saying is, one, it's almost the other placements that were so significantly affected that it kind of necessitated the creation of this placement. So it's kind of a flipping the question on its head a little bit. But also just that students, you kind of anticipated that there would be kind of unanticipated problems, so to speak, and you designed the placement with that in mind already, and that sort of led to amazing outcomes because you knew, maybe as not all of us did, that the placement was going to bring up unexpected curveballs, use an American term.
As occupational therapists, we are problem solvers, and one of the things that we really try to work with our students, our course is designed with a problem-based learning approach anyway, and we absolutely did anticipate some of the problems that came up, but there were also a number of problems that we didn't anticipate that did come up as well. And what we wanted to do was to allow those students opportunities to really explore those problems and solve them themselves. We wanted to make sure that we were not there to give them the answers, but to challenge them to use those problem solving skills and to be creative and to be innovative so that they could meet not only the outcomes of their learning objectives for themselves, but also meet the needs of the people and the service users that they were actually working with.
And I think something that our weekly supervision sessions did is that they enabled the students to really reflect critically on the experiences they'd had and to identify what was going well, and also identify maybe what wasn't going so well, and be able to work collaboratively to brainstorm and problem solve some of the issues that weren't going so well. So it became almost like a community of learners. They were supporting each other in a really collaborative way. And I think that was one of the major strengths that came from the session. As Rachel has already said, you know, the students did work very effectively, but how many traditional placements would a student have an opportunity to develop project management skills? Mm. And this unique placement just offered so many additional learning opportunities over and above the more traditional practice placement that they might have if they'd gone into a clinical setting or a social care setting.
And when we presented the idea to those 10 students, you know, there was understandably anxiety. We were asking them to go out on a placement that was absolutely, completely and utterly different to the phase two placements that they had gone out on. We were asking them, you know, we were really setting a challenge, and there was a lot of anxiety around it. And actually within a week or two, you could see them settling into it, coming up with ideas, creating spreadsheets to ensure that, you know, they were all doing different locations rather than doing the same work. And so I think that really did foster an opportunity for them to grow in themselves and to develop personally and professionally. I just think that it was a brilliant opportunity for them. It was wonderfully created by Sarah Moorcroft and supported by so many occupational therapists in the Aneurin Bevan Health Board, and that really did allow the students to be successful.
I'm just hearing great thing after great thing. It sounds like a really amazing project, and you've spoken about some of the outcomes. So for our third question, feel free to sort of focus on the second part of it. But I'll just ask it here. What outcomes resulted from your innovation, and what are the plans for the innovation going forward?
So some of the amazing outcomes that did emerge were a whole raft of different digital stories that are freely available. And I think we did send you the link to those when we submitted our initial story to you. So those are freely available. Some of the other outcomes, students, I think, have been able to see much more clearly the links between theory and practice. As facilitators of learning, we were able to sort of steer them in the direction of looking at things like the Royal College of Occupational Therapy Career Development Framework. And often it's really difficult to see how you would use a piece of work like that and apply yourself to it. But through this process and through being able to critically reflect on your own learning, I think students have been able to really grasp what that means, and will now be able to take that forward with their own continual personal and professional development as graduate OTs, which is something I'm really proud of. Other things that I think that have emerged are that it's made us really excited as an occupational therapy programme team to look more creatively at different placement models. And it's something that we are still exploring. So COVID has faced and presented lots of barriers, but it's also presented us with lots of creative opportunities as well, and that's something I think that we should be really appreciative about. I don't know if you've got anything to add, Rachel.
Yeah, I just actually just to say to repeat there in a way that, you know, this placement was a catalyst for the creation of a number of other placement opportunities that have come up, and there's been much more confidence in both the university and with educators on really starting to think about outside of the box. You know, we know the Omicron variant has come up now, and we've got placement starting in a week, and, you know, we're always talking to educators about how they're going to be able to, you know, provide excellent placement opportunities despite the restrictions. And the other thing that I thought I would mention, Maria, is that opportunity that the students have had to share what they've done since the project has ended. So, you know, we've had students taking part in Allied Health Professions podcast. We invited all of the students to support us with writing the article for the World Federation of Occupational Therapist bulletin. You know, so, you know, these students who went into this placement as terrified and anxious, you know, students, and now just qualified and have their name, you know, against as the World Federation of Occupational Therapists bulletin. And I think that is the opportunities that this has created, is really giving them an idea of what research is, on how to present projects to other people, and to just look at things from a positive perspective. I just wanted to say that they have been able to share this project far and wide.
Yeah, both verbally in National Dementia Conference, but as Rachel said, through supporting us to write the paper that we submitted to the World Federation of Occupational Therapists, and supporting to submit the work that we've submitted to the Council of Deans. So we had a student involved in that as well. So I think it shows the strength of collaborative working.
And just to add in that as well, just one more, is that so many of those students that went out on that project, when they went through the streamlining to get their jobs as qualified occupational therapists, were actually offered jobs within the services that they'd been working in, because they were known and the educators had seen how wonderful they were and how creative they were, how independent they were. And they've actually ended up, you know, qualifying and working within an Iron Bevan Health Board because of what they achieved on their final placement.
Perfect. The proof is in the pudding then, I suppose. Rachel, the word you used, or the phrase you used, sort of thinking outside the box, really sort of strikes, I think, to the purpose of some of the innovation work we're doing and sort of the ideas we want to promote. As a council, it's about how do we sort of support other institutions to sort of also think in this way. And by sort of highlighting these sort of projects, they can go, oh, wait, we don't need to be, you know, thinking about the same sort of traditional placements as we always have. We can think of new ones. We have sort of proof that they've been successful, and just sort of making it that little bit easier for them to go forward with those types of placements. I'll move now to our fourth and final question. So that is, what advice would you give to other institutions looking to implement similar innovations, and what is holding you back from expanding this innovation further?
One of the first things I would advise people to do is to make links with your partners in practice and actually ask them, what challenges are they facing and what can you offer them to help them overcome some of those challenges? So if we had Sarah Moorcroft approach us and say to us, look, we've got the Get There Together project. We think we would really be able to use your students in a really positive way to generate some amazing resources. What can we do to explore this further? So don't be frightened to ask your partners in practice, what challenges are they facing? What can you do collaboratively to help address some of those challenges? Because that's where we started from. You know, we did ask all of our partners in practice, are there any creative ways that we can work collaboratively to ensure that our students do get their practice placements, because it's a requirement of their course? But Sarah Moorcroft came back with this amazing idea, which we were able to grasp with both hands. If you'd seen me when she rang me to sort of just sort of talk about her ideas, I was just so excited. And I just immediately saw the potential. So, you know, don't be frightened to come up with ideas and to share those ideas and think about how can you work collaboratively to do that and address that.
And my key words would have been collaboration, as Maria have already said, but also the placement or the practice education team at the university. Really, you know, we were very aware of the challenges that our settings were facing due to COVID-19 in terms of social distancing and staff sickness and remote working, etc. All these things that we'd never come across before in occupational therapy. And so we actually tailored a programme so that our educator training sessions, we would actually tailor them towards those challenges that the educators were coming to us and saying, we can't, you know, we can't do replacement, we can't give you a replacement offer because of X, Y, and Z. We started to then really think about, well, how can we work with them to overcome those problems? And so as a practice education team, we now hold monthly sessions for our educators, and we talk about those problems that they have, and we problem solve them with them, so that those placement offers are still able to be used in a very different way, but in still a very successful way.
Yeah.
I think that don't be frightened, work collaboratively and tailor your project are three really good send-off messages that everybody can probably take for when they're designing placements for the future. I think with that, we'll end this podcast recording. I'd like to thank Rachel and Maria for joining me today to talk about their Get There Together project. It's been really informative, and I hope that the audience has enjoyed listening to it as much as I've enjoyed participating in it. I'd also like to remind our audience that we have a whole host of other content in podcast, blog, and webinar form, which you can find on our website, specifically related to innovation, but related to a whole host of other topics as well. So feel free to peruse, and I'm sure you'll find something that's useful to you. So with that, I'll say goodbye, and thanks again for listening today.